What a blessing. You know, sensational being your mom, you got really blessed.
Amen.
You got really blessed. You probably won't know till you get to heaven, but you're really blessed. Same with Jasmine's kids too. You know, when they get to heaven, they're gonna go, "We were really blessed."
You live past everywhere.
Am I live? Amen. All right. Let's see if we. I'm waiting for Jaguar because I don't want to interrupt her. No, I'm just saying. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. All right. God is good all the time. I'm glad that everybody is here. Even on their sixth anniversary, they're like, "Let's go to church." That's a good decision. Praise God. So here we go. And we're going to have a little bit of education today. I want to educate us on something in the Bible, and this is not the Bible study. It's a quick thing that God wants you to look at before. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12 if you have your Bibles with you. Exodus chapter 12. Are you there? Well, here we go. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel on the 10th of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household.'" Okay, now go down to verse 6. It says, "Take care of them," what, the lambs, "until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." So that is a prophecy concerning what? That a lamb is going to be sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan, right?
Yes.
So now understand this. Every year after this, after they left Egypt, they took a lamb on the 14th of Nisan, and they sacrificed the lamb on the 10th of Nisan, and they sacrificed the lamb on the 14th of Nisan. Till this day, every year the Jews celebrate the Passover on the 14th of Nisan. On the 1st of Nisan, God called Aaron and Moses over and said, "This is going to be the new month for you. This is going to start your year." Okay? It's Nisan. It's the first day. When the 10th comes, I want you to go out and get a lamb and keep that lamb for 4 days. But on the 4th day, you must kill it, slaughter the lamb at twilight. So then when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he comes into Jerusalem on the 10th day of Nisan on a donkey. And then 4 days passed, and now he's being crucified. Mm-hmm. So the lamb got killed on the 14th day.
Yeah.
So this is what Passover is all about. Now, this is my question, because those 14 days are so very important. Okay? My question to you is this. If the 1st of Nisan, God gave them the commandment, and the 14th of Nisan, the lamb died, then you have a separation of 14 days. Okay? I want to know from God, why did he have a lunar eclipse, November 19th, and then 14 days later, December 4th, he had a solar eclipse exactly 14 days later? And why from December 4th to April 2nd was exactly 120 days? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's strange, that you would do a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse 14 days apart, and from the solar eclipse to Nisan 1st is 14 days. I mean, 120 days. So there are things that are going on now that people need to know and understand. And if you're watching, you would say, wait a minute, why are these being separated 14 days? Because from the 1st of Nisan to the 14th of Nisan is when Jesus Christ was crucified. So these 14 days from November 19th to December 4th were very important. I want to know why. And because Passover is April 16th, okay?
Amen.
I think we'll find out, and I'm praying that we do. That was just something I wanted you to know, and I'm putting this away because that's not the message. Now I need you to go to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to ask you a question. And, what's that? Yeah, it's on. I think it's on. It's on me. Okay. You see, I got my Yorkers tie on.
Oh, I see.
Yorkers, this Italian. I don't want to mess up his name. Is that the right one? Why'd you give me that one?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Getting old.
I know. I didn't want to say nothing. When you were younger, you never made these mistakes. Let's go.
Amen.
All right. This is the question that the Lord wanted me to ask. And most of you guys would go, yeah, of course I would. If I told you, if I was Noah and you were there back in the day and I told you, hey, the Lord told me it's going to happen in 120 days. This flood is about to start. It's going to drown out every living thing on the earth. Okay? And I want you to be one of the people that get saved. So will you abandon your life and get on the boat so that you can save yourself? Okay? If I gave you a warning and told you it was coming, would you take the warning or would you say, he's crazy? Because you got to remember, Lot did the exact same thing for some of his relatives. Even telling the son-in-laws, hey, and it says they laughed at him because they thought he was joking. You understand? So we're in this type of situation in the world, and people don't really understand. Like, once it happens, you can't reverse it. You understand? Amen. You can't take a warning after, you know, like, don't cross that street. After you get hit, I can't warn you anymore. It's like, it's there. So the time of warning is now. Like, this is going to happen. It's, and the title that God gave me today was, it's about to happen. So to warn you and to let you know that when it happens, you've been warned. I'm not just talking to you guys, I'm talking to the world. You understand? Because they don't really know or understand or care what's going on, okay? With everything in front of us, they don't care, okay? Now, the Lord wanted me to go back and teach you guys what's going on, because this is not about you. This is about a spiritual war going on to save you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay? Man. The only thing God wants you to do is make sure you have Jesus Christ in your life when he comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is about a spiritual war. Okay? Not a physical war. This is a spiritual war, which means you may not understand it, but if you take the warning, you can still save yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading here.
Genesis.
Thank you guys for being here, all of these beautiful faces.
What verse?
We're going to be in verse 3. And it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children to them. The same became mighty men and were old, and were old men of renown. Okay. This was the beginning of problems. Now, I always encourage people to read the book of Enoch because it's important that you know if a war is going on, who your enemy is. Okay? Because you have to remember, as your enemy, his focus is you will never see heaven. The place I got kicked out of, you will never see it.
Right.
That's his threat against you. And I will pull every string, every entertainment channel, every politician, I will pull them all together to make sure you never see heaven. I got kicked out and I hate you because God made you and I'm going to make sure that you never see heaven. That's Satan. Okay? And so that's what he's been doing. He has been pulling every string he possibly can to make sure that people think that Jesus Christ, salvation, the cross, the blood, all that's foolishness. I'm just here to live my life. And once you believe that, you become Satan's fool. Because now you believe life is all about my physical life here and has nothing to do with eternity, has nothing to do with the person that really lives on the inside of me. Okay? You know, there's people that want out of their bodies because their bodies are going through so much pain and sickness. Do you know that?
Right.
At that time, they realized, man, this body is something I don't want. And like I told you last week, it has been proven by billions of people that your body's not going to last forever.
Right.
He said, billions of people have proven this to you. So, and the percentage is 100%, right? So, and all God is saying is, look at the statistics and the evidence and believe what I'm telling you. You're going to live somewhere else forever, okay? So, these angels in the book of Enoch had been sent to the earth for one purpose, to help man in their education along, to move them along and help them in the earth realm as God was developing man upon the earth. These angels, it says, here, did I read it? Well, it says, after they saw the beauty of the women, the daughters of Adam were beautiful, and they saw them, and it says they went in and they took the ones that they wanted, and they had children by them, and these children became giants upon the earth. And so there were Nephilim upon the earth in the time before the flood.
Yes.
Okay? And so if you don't know this, you'll think, you know, well, what is this big war about? Well, I'm going to explain it to you today so you can see what's going on because they're back.
Oh, dear.
Okay? They're back, and they really, to tell you the truth, they never left. They're just back and more educated about deception. You understand? Okay.
Amen.
So now I need you to go. Let me get my notes here. Oh, you can't go here unless you got the book of Enoch in your hand. I'm going to read from the book of Enoch, chapter 10. And it's chapter 10. And I think I'm starting at verse 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, now watch. It says, then said the Most High, the Holy Great One, spake and sent Uro, one of the, it says, to the sons of Lamech. Now, Uro is an angel. He sends Uro to the sons of Lamech. And he says, go to Noah and tell him in my name, hide yourself. Did you hear that? The angel goes to Noah and said, the Most High says, in his name, hide yourself. How do you do that?
In his word.
In his word, in who he is, in the covenant you have with him. So God is telling all of you, in the name of Jesus, hide yourself. Amen. Maybe Jaguar can sing it. You are my hiding place. You know that song, Jaguar? You are my hiding place? You never heard that song? Thank you, Pastor Ben. You just too young, Jaguar. So there's a song they used to sing when I was a kid called You Are My Hiding Place. And they would sing it, be singing this about Christ. Because in the name that God has given to all men, you can hide yourself in the name of God. All your protection can be in Jesus.
Yes.
So understand, he's telling, the angel is telling Noah, because to me, if I was Noah, I would, what do you mean hide yourself? You got a big rock or a cave or something? No. You can hide yourself in my name. You got to understand who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Because in my name, you'll have protection.
Yeah.
So he says this, go to Noah and tell him, in my name, hide yourself. And reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed and deluded is about to come upon the whole earth and will destroy all that is on it. And now, instruct him that he may escape and his seeds may be preserved for all generations of this world. I'm going to go down to verse 9. And to Gabriel said the Lord, proceed against, I'm going to use the word they use, against those children of fornication, we'll call them. Because that other word, I got a whipping for before, so my mama hear it. Okay, so proceed against the children of fornication and the reprobates, the children of fornication, even the children of the watchers from among men, and cause them to go forth and send them one against another. That they may destroy each other in battle for a length of days, the length of days shall they not, they shall not have. So he said, for the length of days they shall not have, but cause them to go to war against each other. And it says, and no request that they, i.e. their fathers or their the angels who are their fathers, and none of the requests of their fathers make of these shall be granted unto their fathers on their behalf, for they hope to live in eternal life, and that each one of them will live 500 years. Okay, so he's telling them to go to them and let them know and cause them to war against each other, these Nephilim beings. And he said, and let them know, they think they're going to live forever, but they're only going to live 500 years. Mm-hmm. But let them know that no forgiveness is for them, nor for their fathers, who are the angels who fell and began to sleep with women and have children by them. Okay? Listen, you may think that this is science fiction and just a story in the Bible, but every demon that is orchestrating this world, yeah, knows that this happened, yeah, and you're in the middle of it and you're more deceived than ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in verse 11, it says, and the Lord said to Michael, go bind up Samaria and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them and all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valley of the earth till the day of their judgment and their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days shall be led off to the abyss of fire and to the torment and prison in which they shall confine forever. Okay, so the end of the Nephilim is the abyss of hell and it's fire. Okay,
yeah.
Now this is why the scriptures say that hell was not made for men. It was originally made for angels. But if you want to say, I don't need Jesus, and live in rebellion, you're more than welcome to, because in this this same chapter, it says, not only they, but everyone who binds themselves to them. Okay? So you have to bind you have to say, I agree with them that the name means nothing, and I'm going to live the way that they have orchestrated for me instead. Okay? You're not thinking because you've been deceived, and a lot of us don't understand when you're deceived. Because we think, like my niece, she has this big old book like this of Rihanna on the table. And I go, every time I walk in there, I go, and I want to say something, you know what I mean? But I'm at my brother's house, and I'm like, you got a book of a Nephilim child right there on the thing. And it's like, no, she's not a Nephilim. She's just a beautiful woman. Because you don't understand what's going on, okay? Now, let's continue. Let's go over, I'm going over to chapter 16 of this same book, okay? And now here it says, in verse 8 of chapter 16, it says, and now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and the earth shall be their dwelling. So the children from these angels and women, God says their dwelling is going to be from on the earth. Yeah. So when their bodies die, their spirits still stay here. Yep. So they're still here. Listen to this. And now the giants who is produced from spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits. We call them demons, right? Upon the earth. And on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men and from the holy watchers. Is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth. Evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirit of the giants will afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food or drink. Nevertheless, they are thirsty and hungry, and cause offense. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against women, because they proceeded from them. So he's saying the spirit. Now, when the Nephilim died, when their bodies died, their spirit stayed here. And even though they neither eat nor drink, they suffer in their spirit because they have a feeling of thirst and hunger, but they can't satisfy it because they don't have bodies. So now the question is, how do I get a body? How can I get a body, or how can I get in a body so I can feel the sensation and get rid of this feeling of thirst and hunger inside of me? I need a body. And once I get a body, is it going to change me into a good angel? He's still an evil spirit. So once I get a body, now while I'm in that body, I want that body to do what the devil would do, because I am a child of the devil, and so I want that body to now do evil. So how can I get into the body? First thing I need to know is, where's the door? So where's the door inside of each human being? The pineal gland. You know that because you're here. I did a video many years ago. It's like tons of views because people don't understand this one thing. I need a door to get in. I can't just walk inside. Unless Satan could just come in and walk inside me and Pastor Ben.
Yeah.
But he can't. That means you have to open the door. And I've got to make it attractive to you to open the door. So let's make marijuana free. Because the ingredients in that opens the pineal gland faster than anything else. And people don't know it, but as long as you're smoking weed, you always have your door open. You're like a rich person walking around with your door wide open with all of your stuff inside, yep, with criminals all outside, yep, and every day you open your door. Because,
yep,
you like this. Door's open.
Yep. Yep.
And then you find out, why can't I get rid of these demons in my life? Because your door is open and they're looking for a place to do,
yes,
stuff. And since your door is open, they're always going to be with you.
Yes.
A couple was fighting all the time. Got married, they was like, all we do is fight. I was like, why y'all fighting all the time? You guys know each other, y'all lovely couple. He says, well, in the morning, you know, we usually smoke a joint, or at night we smoke a joint, and we sit down, we try to talk these things out. I said, stop. Go no further. You're not arguing. The demons are arguing and causing you to argue. So get rid of the weed out of your house,
yep,
and you'll close your pineal door.
Yeah.
And I said, what about drinking? Because that's the second thing.
Yeah.
They don't call spirits for nothing.
Thank you.
You understand?
Thank you.
A matter of fact, in Arabic, you know how I say demons? Jinn. So I'm trying to get your pineal gland open, but if you don't cooperate with the two things we've made legal for you, because now they got marijuana. See, they always made marijuana a lighter drug. Like, don't worry about it. You know, I know mushrooms and stuff, that stuff's great. And it will open your pineal gland too.
Right.
But the simple ones that do it is alcohol and marijuana. So this is how he keeps activity going. Remember, they're here for destruction of human beings because Satan don't want you to see heaven.
Right. Amen.
Okay. Let's continue. I have no idea where I stopped. Here it is. Okay. Okay. And the spirits of the giants will afflict, oppress. Okay, I already read that. And yes. Huh?
What are you reading from?
I'm in the book of Enoch. So I'm done in Enoch, so you don't have to follow me no more there. So praise God. But if you want to read Enoch, you can read. I was in chapter 10 and chapter 16. Okay. Now, let's continue. We are going to talk about these Nephilim beings. Now, Nephilim lived on the earth before the flood, and they lived on the earth after the flood. Okay. Because even though their bodies were destroyed in the flood, their spirits still are confined to earth.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
So they are still here, and they're one of their objectives is, how do I either get a body or how do I get in a body? Okay? And so they're here. Now, I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to have to read it from this book because the NIV tears it up and messes it up completely. Okay. If you're in Daniel chapter 2, we will read verse 42. Let me see. And was there? Okay, here it is. Verse 42. And it says, as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with clay, they will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron does not mix with clay. Now, what does it mean? They will mingle themselves. They will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. They're going to do more than that. And that's probably the simplest way. But he's saying, but the scripture is saying this. The bodies and the people that live upon the earth, somehow they're going to get bodies back and they're going to mingle themselves among the people of the earth. So that means that through DNA technology, they're going to find out a way to bring a body forth and live in that body and live among you and mingle among human beings, looking and talking and walking like you. So then how do you know who's a Nephilim and who's not a Nephilim? If they all look human, how do you know? I forgot to read in the book of Jasher, it says this. I'm going to read this before I go back. And it says, and their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from the husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days took from the cattle of the earth and the beast of the field and the fowls of the air and taught mixture of animals, one species with another, in order to provoke the Lord. And God saw the whole earth was corrupt. All flesh corrupted its ways upon the earth. All men and animal were corrupted. Okay, so they not only corrupted humans, they corrupted animals. And if you have a child with a human, and that child is now 15 feet high, and you're having children with animals, and those animals, that may be the dinosaur problem. I can't prove it, so I'm not going there. But I'll tell you one thing: they were mixing with humans and animals. Okay, so they were mixing DNA. Now, this is a big problem for the church because you don't know what the big war is all about. You just think there's a devil somewhere, he's running around, there's only one of him, and there's me, and, you know, I have a desire to sin, I don't want to sin, I'm going to church, blah, blah. You think like it's just this simple thing. They're high level above you. You understand? They found a way to mingle the DNA where that they can have a body and that they can be inside of a body that looks like a human and still walk around with you, talk with you, and they have what they call handlers to make sure they don't get out of order. But you guys don't believe that or know that. You just think like Jay-Z has always been human. What's that comedian, Fox? Jamie Foxx. Oh, he's always been human. Oh, LeBron's always been human. Oh, we overlook everything that they do in their lives. LeBron does a satanic ritual before every game. He does the Bofamite. He does this. He looks up to the sky. He throws up the Bofamite. Then he plays. He does it before every game. One lady Golden State. She's sitting there watching like this. Like, what are you doing? He's doing a ritual right before the game. He does it all the time, okay? So I want you guys to know that the scripture says that they're going to mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. Let me show you how this is happening. Now watch this. I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 2. I'm still in the same verses. Here it is, 42. Okay. I'll go 43. Whereas thou sawest that iron was mixed with clay, they will mingle themselves with the seeds of men. But they shall not cleave one to another. Even iron does not mix with clay. Listen, and in the days of these kings, meaning the 10 kings that will be ruling over the earth, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, what is that kingdom that's coming to the earth that's going to stand forever? Jesus. So he's telling you, right before Jesus comes back, there will be 10 kings upon the earth that will have rulership. It tells you about this in Revelation. They will have rulership over the earth. But a king will come and will destroy all those kings and will set up his kingdom. But before that happens, they will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. And we watch it all the time. I can't remember names, but one girl went to a some type of thing where they call forth these demons, and she's a she was with another guy. He's a white rapper with a lot of tattoos on him, if y'all know the names. And she was an actor. She used to be in the little robot movie or whatever. And anyway, they went, and she said when they took the drug, she said she was in hell. Did you hear that one? Did you watch that one? She said, well, I was in hell for a while, and it seemed like forever, but there was a lot of torment. And then, you know, and then I came back. Like, I could send you the video. Yes. And I'm like, wow. So they're see, because let me tell you something. The fastest way to the spiritual realm is drugs.
Yes.
The fastest way, that's why, who knows what DMT is? DMT will take you into the spiritual realm faster than anything. Even Mike Tyson tried it and he came back crying and said it was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen in his life. And he claimed that the spirits there were telling them that we are all one and there's no one religion and this, all of this. So every time someone does DMT, they seem to talk to spirits that tell them that Jesus in the Bible is not real. So I want you guys to know that because they make them movie stars and politicians, and we're going to talk.
Amen.
We're going to talk.
Amen.
We're going to talk. Okay. Now, Ronald Bernard, I'm going to talk about, and I'll send you his interview. Ronald Bernard was one of the top bankers in the Beast Bank. That's the Bank of International Settlements, okay? Now, the guy interviewing him said, well, we have the Federal Reserve here. And he said, well, Federal Reserve is nothing. They take orders from the Beast Bank. Then he said, well, what about the Vatican Bank? He says, that's the richest bank in the world. He says, they're little. They take orders from the Beast Bank. And I was like, what's the Beast Bank? You guys can look it up. It's called the Bank of International Settlements. They control all finances of the whole world. So if you want to know how the whole world shut down at one time, there's one entity that's controlling all of it. You understand? So he said the Beast Bank controls all of it. Now he said he was moving up in the Illuminati, and he said, I was in charge of all the sacrifices. Then he started crying, and they had to wait a little while for him to get himself composed. He says, I was in charge of all the sacrifices. He goes, what do you think? What do you mean the sacrifices? He says, 9/11 was a sacrifice. The bombing in Europe that happened 911 days after that was a sacrifice. The bombing at the marathon, that was a sacrifice. The shooting at schools, those are sacrifices. So he said, I was in charge of the sacrifices to make sure that they're organized and arranged according to numerical values. and then that they happen. You understand? So he says, he started crying because he said, I was in charge of the sacrifices. He says, if there's a shooting somewhere and many people are shot, like Las Vegas, I was in charge of the sacrifices. He says, I was in charge of making sure abortion clinics were open, that they changed laws to make sins easier, that people who got music contracts were under our control, that people who had television stations were under our control, that we made sure that witchcraft was incorporated in everything that we put out. And he said, well, what about the Freemasons? He said, oh, they're a small unit, but they do what we tell them to do. So I wish you, if you listen to it, he said, well, what changed you? What made you want to get out? He said, when I was laying on my deathbed, a little kid came up into my room and started reading little Bible verses about Jesus. And he said, I never heard. He said, I knew there was a light side because I was darkness. But he says, when his kids start reading these, he said, I started crying and I wanted to know what the light is. Okay? So I'm trying to explain to you guys something. The things that are going on in the world are above your understanding. So God is not like, if I'm a mechanic, I don't want to teach you everything about a car. I only need to teach you a couple of things to keep it running. Right. Put some oil in it, right? You'll figure out the gas part, because if you don't have nothing in there, it won't go. Put some oil, keep your oil changed regularly. That's my instruction. The instruction that God is giving to each and every human being is hide yourself in the name.
Yeah.
Amen.
You don't need to know nothing else. You don't even know about the Illuminati. You don't even have to know how they operate. You don't have to know anything. Hide yourself in the name of Christ. Yeah. But if you hide yourself in his name, that means that you are going to do what he says.
Yeah.
And what he says is what? Watch and pray. Look at what's going on around you.
Amen.
Watch what type of music they're putting out.
Yeah.
Anyone with any common sense would have known that Kanye West had not become a Christian.
Amen.
Anyone would have known that. It did not take me 2 weeks of investigation and going back and looking what he's doing to tell people that this guy is not. God told me he's not my servant. He's Satan's servant. And the people that work for him are working for Satan and for him. But none of them belong to me. And that's what I came in and told you. But I had already looked up the Brill Society, because the women in the Brill Society have to wear their hair to the back of their calf, because it attracted demons. So when they did their little circle song for Christian songs, all the women's hair was at the bottom of by the calves. And I said, why they got all these women with these long weaves all the way to their calves? And they're all singing these Christian songs, but they're practicing the attraction of demonic spirits while they're doing it. Why, when he decided to have an album cover, he went to the guy who got an award from Obama for being able to open portals. He gave an award, and Kanye goes to him to ask him how to use music to open portals, and Kanye gives him $10 million.
Wow.
But I got to tell you, he's not a real Christian. Why do I have to tell you? If you're watching, you're going to be doing the things that Christ, if you're going to hide yourself in the name, be a Christian.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying.
Amen.
Hiding yourself is not saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. Hiding yourself is hiding yourself in your faithfulness to God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, and then we'll finish it up with what the Lord wanted me to give you. But Revelation chapter 12. Amen. Just stay here all day. Preacher, huh? Okay. Now watch this. As we read, I'm going to start at verse 5. And we know this is about the woman and the dragon. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, that was Jesus, who will rule over all nations with an iron scepter. and her children, I'm going to say it the way the Greek said, and her children and her offspring, or her community of people, were snatched up to God and to his throne.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Okay? Now, and it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and the archangels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, He was hurled down to earth, and his angels with him. So there's going to be a battle in the middle of the tribulation, mm-hmm. where all those angels that got kicked out are going to be thrown down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now go to Revelation chapter 6 and we'll see what's going on. Verse 7. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades followed close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. This is during the tribulation. So see, I'm trying to tell you before you're in the middle of it, that Jesus is saying, hide yourself in my name, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God. They're going to be killing people for reading the Bible or having the Bible? Yes. Now watch this. And their testimony they had maintained. So for their testimony and for the word of God, they were slain. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, until holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? What are the inhabitants of the earth? Kato okoa. That's the Greek word. It means cast down dwellers. So in the tribulation, you're not just going to see bad people. You're going to see cast down dwellers. Also, in Revelation 9, they open a portal from underneath, yeah. and demons come up on the earth.
Yeah.
I want you to understand and know what people are about to see is way more than an antichrist over there, a false beast, and a false prophet. They're about to see some things.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm trying to warn you and tell you this whole thing's about to happen. And if you don't want to see it and be a part of it, hide yourself in the name of Christ.
Amen.
Hide yourself. Because once it happens, there's nothing I can do for you. I can't warn you after the event.
Right.
It's too late. But I can do it now, and that I will do with all my strength.
Amen.
So hide yourself.
Amen.
You ain't seen nothing yet. You think it's evil what's going over in Russia right now? That's a Nephilim in charge of a country doing what other Nephilims tell him to do so that they can start a world war. These are Nephilim doing the same thing that God did to them, because God said, make them war against each other and kill each other and kill each other. All they're doing is starting wars so that humans can kill each other. Do you think they care? No. You think Nephilim care about human beings? I saw a Nephilim sit in a classroom with a bunch of kids and say, repeat after me, kids, plane must hit steel. This was on September 11th of 2001. He's sitting in a classroom. And after he says, plane must hit steel, someone comes to him and says, oh, the planes just hit the towers. And he goes, and just continues on. Then he says, okay, kids, now look under your desk, under your chair, and we have a gift for you. And they had a book called My Pet Goat.
Horrible.
Satanic book.
Horrible.
About Nephilim worship.
Wow.
Okay? So that Nephilim did that, right?
Yep.
And then that Nephilim act like he don't like Michelle Obama's, well, he called her Michael sometime too. So so Obama and the Bushes were very good friends. Obama and the guy in Russia, the president, he went over there and asked Putin to invade Syria and set up a military base in Syria. Obama went over there and asked him that. So I'm telling you, all of them are on the same Nephilim. They're trying to work this thing so that tribulation can come, and when it comes, I want you to know Jesus paid the price for you not to be a part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
All you got to do is hide yourself in the name.
10 minutes left.
Hide yourself in the name. Something's about to happen. Okay? Here's my 10 minutes. I need you to go to 1 John chapter 1. Someone online telling people, oh, Pastor Sandy preaches works-based religion. He preaches that you got to work your way to heaven. Such a lie. But see, Juke already told me, man, we got groups of demonic people that are assigned to go on YouTube and confuse Christians.
Yep.
So don't think that, don't take it personal. You know what I mean? They're assigned to all the Christian groups. You understand? They give them Christian channels and they orchestrate that they got millions of views. And then they put false comments that say, this is wonderful, you're teaching the truth. And we look at it and go, this guy must be teaching the truth. He got a million views and everybody's following him. Because they know popularity is what you follow.
Yeah.
You got a little lady somewhere talking about, I just want to tell you about my testimony. And she got 15 views. But you won't listen to her testimony, but a million views about you. You're not, there's no rapture, but it's a million views. You'll watch that because he knows we follow popularity. So please understand, now there's somebody sent me something, said Pastor Ben, they said this. It starts off like this, because see, you from the hood, come on, you know, like you start like that. They don't come at you mad. They were like, so he started off like this. Dear brother and Pastor Sandy Armstrong, God bless you. I share your videos with everybody. I was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The first line, I was like worried. I was like, all right, let me check my pockets, make sure everything's still there, right? So then he goes, we teach kind of like the same that you're teaching, but we teach that the bride's going to be taken in the beginning of the tribulation, but then in the middle of the tribulation, the Gentiles will be taken. I'm like, this is foolishness. Where'd you get this from? Then I erased it because I was like, that's kind of hard. Maybe it's really a nice person. I was like, God was like, write it. So I wrote, this is foolishness. Where did you get this from? Do you need to talk my phone? Because this is, I want to say the dumbest, but I say this is the most uneducated thing biblically I've ever heard. And I sent it back to him, but I haven't heard back. But I want you to know they're out there.
There they are.
And he said, you can watch our videos on blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, he has a YouTube too.
Wow.
I went to it. How many subscribers you think he has?
58.
Huh? 130,000 subscribers.
No.
How many views? 1.5 million views. So, but you guys don't think Satan's at work, okay? But you guys don't understand, you know what I mean? It's like, everything that they're doing, both entertainment-wise, politically, whatever, religiously, they're doing to keep you out of heaven, okay? Your job is one thing, hide yourself in Christ. Be obedient, okay? Because obedience is not works. So for everyone who has said that lie to me, Obedience is not works. Okay?
Amen.
Obedience is not works.
Amen.
I buy you flowers, you're my wife. That's works, flowers. Mm-hmm. Not cheating on you is obedience.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Don't get the two mixed up.
Right.
All right? So I'm living in obedience.
Yeah.
I may not have enough time to do a lot of works, but I know what obedience is.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
And so this is the scripture that the Lord wanted me to finish with. It says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in you." You hear that?
Amen. Amen.
So if you're a Christian and you sin, what's the first thing you want to do?
Repent.
You want to repent and you want to confess that thing.
Amen.
This is what I'm struggling with. Help me to overcome this, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So someone said, "Well, I think that chapter is really talking to unbelievers." Let's read chapter 2. It says, "My dear children," who's my dear children? "We are. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So he says, "My children, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, you have an advocate, a lawyer standing next to God. You can ask for forgiveness and he will cleanse you." You understand? This is for the children of God. Now, a fool will sin and say, "I'm once saved, I'm always saved. I don't have to tell God nothing. Because once I already got saved, I'm done. Now, I don't have to, if I sin, I don't have to confess nothing. I don't have to take nothing to my lawyer. I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is just continue living and continue sinning because I've already said the magical prayer and nothing matters now anymore. I'm once saved, I'm always saved." God has me warning people against this foolishness because a lot of Christians are believing that they can, because of their baptism and their confession and their day of crying down the aisle, they're set for life.
Yeah.
And so they pretend that this is the end of salvation. And they neither have to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. They neither have to sanctify themselves from the world. They neither have to confess the sins that they have committed so that God can cleanse them of those sins. They don't believe in any of that. They just believe that once I got saved, I'm done and I'm cool. And now, you know, I'll see God whenever I see him. Well, you're going to see him, but it won't be with good intentions. Let me tell you that much. Don't believe that lie. You're in a relationship, and in every relationship, there has to be an adjustment of behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Every relationship, you're going to have to adjust your behavior. You understand? What I used to do as a single man, once I get married, I can't do it. Why? Because then obedience comes in. Now, I can be a fool and say, "Look, I can go out and stay as long as I want. You can't tell me nothing, woman." But one of these days, you will come home. And it won't be home. You understand? Because every relationship causes an adjustment of behavior. If you say you believe in Jesus and you have not adjusted any of your behavior, I believe in Jesus, but I still smoke. I believe in Jesus, I still get high. I believe in Jesus, but I'll sleep with her if she'll sleep with me. I believe in Jesus, but the club is where it's happening. I believe in Jesus, but can I have a drink? Everything you say, you believe in Jesus, but you are still doing the same thing you did before. You have not adjusted your behavior. And even if you should be a Christian and you slip in one, you don't even confess it because you believe you was once saved, always saved.
Wow.
That's what we're dealing with right before the rapture.
Amen. Right.
So I'm trying to tell the whole world that ain't Christianity. And I'm trying to tell people who aren't saved, get saved.
Yeah.
Because once it starts raining, I can't help you.
Amen.
No matter how many of you come to the boat and yell, throw us a rope, I can't do nothing for you. I'm telling you about the tribulation, and I'm telling you that it's true. But if you don't believe, you don't have to. But I'm telling you, every prophecy in the Bible has come true. And to think that God has forgotten about this last one, you're being foolish.
Amen.
And to live in the times that we're in, you're being foolish. So adjust your behavior, really live for Christ, and spend a little time with the person you say you're in relationship with. Spend a little time with the, you know, he has a book, he wrote it. He would love for you to read it a little bit, just to show that we friends, right? Like, I ain't trying to read no book. Oh, I don't tell you. Can we talk sometimes, spend some intimate time, just a little prayer, and I ain't got no damn time to be spending with you. You're not in a relationship then.
Nope.
You doing you. You could have did you single.
Right.
I know what true Christianity is. I'm telling you. I've been in enough falsehood to know what true Christianity is.
Yes.
And it has to do with what you're doing when you're not here and you got private time to spend with God.
Amen.
And your behavior. Praise God.
Yes.
Thank you guys for being here today. I hope I didn't scare you, but it's about to happen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.